So good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Sunday morning here in London. It's 9 a.m. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are live for week 99 of our Turning Towards Life project. And we are so glad that you're here with us. Welcome, everybody, whether you are with us live in our Facebook group, which is open to everyone to join, whether you're watching later on YouTube or listening on our podcast. We are so very glad that you're here and able to do this with us. So welcome, everybody. I want to begin with something just before we do anything else this morning, to say that during the week I stumbled across that somebody had written us a very beautiful review on the Apple podcast store, which I want to read to you. Lizzie, you haven't heard this either, so we'll see what you make of this. So I want to say thank you to whoever wrote this, and also to say, if you are a regular follower of this project, or even if you've only just stumbled across us and you're moved by it and touched by it and supported by it, whatever, and you'd like to say something in a review somewhere on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, it really helps people find us. So here's what somebody said. Lizzie, the headline is beautiful, and the text underneath says, gloriously simple and hopeful meditations on fascinating sources that help me see the world and my place in it anew. Beautiful. So thank you to whoever wrote that.
Oh, it's very lovely to hear that. Good morning, everybody. Lizzie here in Devon this week. We're doing our By Hook or By Crook podcast/livecasting on Facebook, and I'm very glad to be here, very glad to see Justin. And that podcast review is extremely meaningful. How wonderful. Just kind of in receipt of it, and you know, in the wondering of how on earth this all came about again, which seems to happen to me all the time when we do this. I'm very grateful to be here, very grateful to that it's meaningful for people. How extraordinary. Even one person. It just makes a difference to how I feel about doing this. And it's a strange thing. I think I've said this before, speaking into one another and not really knowing what happens beyond that, really. And so when we get a little bit of feedback, a little bit of, you know, the comments on Facebook or a little review like that, it's yeah, it's a welcome. I feel very welcomed into doing this by the world. Very grateful for that. So thank you, whoever wrote that. So this week we have the source by the wonderful Jeff Foster, and it's quite long, I think. So I'm going to read first, and then Justin, you can choose if you want to read all of it or part of it or whatever, I guess. So this is called The Beauty of Guilt, which already, when the title popped up, I could feel the kind of paradox of it, given how horrible guilt often feels to me. So, Justin, can I check my mic's okay and you can hear me properly?
Yes, yeah. You're doing fine, yes.
So, The Beauty of Guilt by Jeff Foster. When you say no, when you set boundaries, you may feel guilty. Wonderful, feel guilty. And say no anyway. Set boundaries anyway. Speak your deepest truth anyway. Feeling guilty is not so bad when you drench that experience with curious awareness. Hold the guilty feeling one in your arms. Give her room. Breathe into the discomfort. Let her feel bad for a while. And speak your truth anyway. Say no anyway. Set boundaries anyway. You say yes sometimes to avoid the pain of guilt, don't you? You ignore your own boundaries to avoid the pain. But the pain is bearable. You can survive it. The guilt will arise like a wave sometimes and subside and rise again, maybe, and eventually pass. But you will stay true to yourself regardless, on your path, in your integrity. Guilt as sweet as a sweet companion, guilt as a fragile child needing your love, guilt as an ally on the road. You're not controlled by guilt anymore when you're willing to feel it.
So I'm going to read it too. This is The Beauty of Guilt by Jeff Foster. When you say no, when you set boundaries, you may feel guilty. Wonderful. Feel guilty and say no anyway. Set boundaries anyway. Speak your deepest truth anyway. Feeling guilty is not so bad when you drench that experience with curious awareness. Hold the guilty feeling one in your arms. Give her room. Breathe into the discomfort. Let her feel bad for a while and speak your truth anyway. Say no anyway. Set boundaries anyway. You say yes sometimes to avoid the pain of guilt, don't you? You ignore your own boundaries to avoid the pain. But the pain is bearable. You can survive it. The guilt will rise like a wave sometimes and subside and rise again maybe and eventually pass. But you will stay true to yourself regardless on your path, in your integrity. Guilt as a sweet companion. Guilt as a fragile child needing your love. Guilt as an ally on the road. You're not controlled by guilt anymore when you're willing to feel it.
Thank you for reading that, Justin. It's such a... So I always think that the conversation about saying no is often held as a kind of a simple thing, you know, just say no. And I love this piece of Jeff Foster's work because it articulates the excruciation that happens so often when, you know, certainly someone like me, I very much care about the social ease of things. And so saying no and having my own boundaries, my own this is okay and that's not okay for me, really defined is an ongoing challenge. And so I feel so invited into this what he calls the curious awareness around the guilt. And just anyway, curious awareness around any kind of guilt, whether it's to do with saying no or having done something that you wish you hadn't, or even just feeling guilt that's not even appropriate to feel. And it just, yeah, it just opens the space to be with the consequence of an action that otherwise that action is way much easier avoided. You know, I'd rather not rock the boat because of the feelings of guilt that it brings up. And it's so important to me to hold my own and to have my own integrity intact. And so there's always a rub in a way. And I so appreciate the articulation of the saying no and setting boundaries anyway, because this piece of writing empowers us to be in the experience of the contrast, the non-ease of saying no, rather than just not doing the thing that would have most integrity because it would be too painful. So therefore, I just won't say it at all, or I won't do it at all.
One of the things that's really been thinking about this piece a lot, Lizzie, since you sent it to me a couple of days ago, and I think that Jeff Foster is really onto this, and it's also so implied in what you're saying, but I'll say it the way that it's been occurring to me, which is that very often when I say yes to something that doesn't really have integrity for me or is far from what I want, the story, sort of the cover story I have about it, is I'm being a caring person, I'm being respectful and responsible towards other people. I've got a whole sort of self reassuring story about it. But when I look, I've been looking at this much more closely recently and seeing how much of what I do when I look underneath that story is a kind of not wanting to feel a particular thing. So the number of times that I get myself into some kind of twist that doesn't support me and often doesn't support other people either is because I'm doing my damnedest not to, like Jeff says in this poem, this is so that I won't feel the pain of guilt. Not first because of someone else. And I'm not, of course, saying that I don't care about other people or any of those kind of things. I've just been watching the how easy it is for what I do and what I don't do to come first from a place of trying to avoid a certain kind of experience rather than finding out what's true and doing that and then living with however it feels to be doing that. And I suppose that's in a way, so much of what are the difficult side of our personality patterns and structures is a kind of form of this, which is, I get used to being accommodating. I get used to letting other people shape things. I get used to being sweet and kind or whatever. I get used to abandoning principles that I stand on. More because it's a familiar pattern that I've practiced again and again and again and again to try and avoid feeling something. And the worst bit of it, Lizzie, is that it very rarely avoids the feeling anyway. Yeah. So it's like a sort of grand strategy so I won't feel guilt. Yeah. But frankly, if I say yes to something when I should have felt no, I feel guilt anyway because I'm not separate from this. So sort of the myth is, well, if I abandon myself, I won't feel the guilt that's to do with other people, but I feel the guilt that comes my way because I'm a person in this too. So it's a many decades practiced, continually failing strategy, which Jeff's poem is really, in a way, is exactly the antidote to, which is, given that you can't escape feeling things, let's find out how to be with the feeling of it.
Yeah, I was just looking at the poem because the line that strikes me as you're speaking is, but the pain is bearable, you can survive it. And it's like, oh yeah, of course. Like, we all know that we can survive feelings. Like, plenty of us have had feelings and not died from them. And yet, there's still this resistance to them. And so I feel like this, the awareness at this, the opening that this poem creates, is a chance, an opportunity for us to begin studying ourselves, to begin looking at the ways that we are accommodating. And as you're saying, like wondering about the identity that is attached to being amenable or being nice or being sweet or being accommodating or being considerate, all of those things. And wondering, like, what does that turn our lives into when we don't say, no, stop, you know, stop. You know, even in, I'm just thinking of like relational things where you might want to say, no, can you stop now? Like, I'm feeling like this is too much for me. Or to having points at which we're allowed to say, we give ourselves permission to say, this isn't okay anymore. Please let's not do this, or even not do this right now, you know, whatever the thing is. And how it's so, it's so tricky to set those things for ourselves when there's such good intention as well. I think it's in the not saying no and not having boundaries, there's such a goodness in there. There's such, as you say, like we care about each other. And in that care, it is though possible to lose ourselves, to lose contact with the integrity that we wish to have in the world. And we can feel ourselves you know, mildly or majorly or anything in between, violating that one, which is this one with these values, these beliefs, these things that are sacred to us. And then we find ourselves in situations that, as you say, we're implied in the guilt, not just the people around us, that we feel like we've hurt ourselves by agreeing to something or accommodating something that really feels not in our realm of integrity. And I'm just so appreciating the expansion of this conversation as well. Like, it takes a kind of a teasing apart, because it is such a tricky realm that it requires some attention and some thought and some reflection on watching ourselves and seeing what kind of identities are there that prevent us from telling the truth. And I just want to say as well, I think I've said this a few times in our work, Justin, through Turning Towards Life, that we're inherently social beings. Like, that is what it means to survive in the world, is that we're social. And to be social means to have the social oil of life smoothened and enhanced and created so that we're all together and we can be here together. And we're all trying to smooth things over so much with very good survival instinct intentions. And so this kind of does cut across that part of us that's individual and that's not coming from that particular instinct to make everything okay, to make everybody be okay with one another. And so I feel like it's really important to acknowledge that very instinctive part of us that has learned how to survive through saying yes to things and being accommodating, and yet it can be so to our detriment when it's inappropriate and it violates us and our energy and our capacity to be somewhere and to hold our own personal ground as well.
As you asked, you've been talking. Where we started this call was very quiet. For those of you who were listening, I'm sitting out on London's Hampstead Heath this morning. The funfair is behind me, and a generator has just cranked into gear whilst you were talking. So I just need to check with you if how noisy it is.
I could just hear ducks.
Okay, that's fine. Good. So, in what you were saying, in so many ways, there's this thing that you said very clearly, which is that we need to tease this apart. And that's why I'm so glad that Jeff Foster didn't write something like, "Say no, don't feel guilty." Because that move where we try and push away the feeling, it also is a kind of abandonment of ourselves. Because, like you say, we're inherently radically social beings. We're attuned to one another and sensitive to one another, and so much of our lives, the world that we make, is the one that we make by navigating together our respective needs and wishes and desires and wants and hopes and all of that. So to feel guilty, as you said, there's a real goodness in it, because it comes from our sensitivity to how things might be for other people. And in its deepest, I think, truest, fullest form, what this orientation that's called guilt here is it's one that can include everyone. So it can include my needs and your needs. So if I'm in a situation with you and something's happening and I don't want it to happen, or I don't want it to happen now, I can whatever the feeling is can be a pathway into how do I take care of the whole situation here, you and me. And so one pole of guilt, it seems to me, is when we abandon ourselves in order not to feel it. So I'll just do whatever you want, even if it's against my interests or maybe even our interests. And the other pole of guilt is, that's one end. And the other end, it seemed to me whilst you were talking, is where I pretend not to feel guilty at all. And I just do or don't do what I want, regardless of the consequence to you. And neither of those is going to work, because, well, they may work for a while in one sense, but because of how much either of us or the other they leave out, it's how we end up in enormously destructive to relationships and to the well-being of everyone involved situation. So I don't think that in the end there's any way round other than what Jeff says about feel it and be curious about it. And that's where I wanted to pick up what you said, Lizzie, because my worry about, it's not a worry about what Jeff has written in this wonderful poem, but my worry is sometimes when we say be curious, somehow it's very easy to take that as not as curiosity, or I'll say I'm curious about it and then somehow that's going to resolve it. But to be curious is actually to really look closely. To be curious is to pay exquisite and deep attention and to wonder what is this that's happening here. I suppose I'm reaching for this because I so often hear, I know I've said it this way, and other people say curiosity as if curiosity is sort of the get-out clause. Again, if I just feel curious enough, somehow my difficulty will be resolved. But no, there are layers and layers of mutually interweaving concerns that come up when we feel guilt. And maybe it's striking me that what guilt does, the feeling of guilt does, is it can awaken us to there's something I need to pay attention to here. And at the same time can remind us not to hold on to the ordinary habitual reactive story we have about what that means. Oh, I feel guilty. That means I must say yes. Now I feel guilty. Something important is going on here. What is the path that has the most integrity here? Even if it feels difficult, even if it means I'm going to speak up in a way that I'm not accustomed to. And certainly it's not going to make the feeling of guilt go away. That's not how this is going to happen.
Also, Justin, what's occurring to me is that I know that when I'm on the end of someone saying no, there's a kind of freedom I feel as the person having the boundary set for, which I might be annoyed because I'm not getting my own way. But when I really look at it, I much prefer the truth than that. So I feel like there's a liberating place, not just for us saying no for ourselves, but for the people to whom we are setting boundaries for and between us. And yeah, somehow that just came to me from what you were saying, like, it's not just about me, it's about the system I'm in, whether it's a system of two people or a bigger thing. I know I so appreciate when people say to me, well, I don't like that, or I'm not doing that, or no. Because I might be annoyed that I didn't get my own way for a minute, but then something settles in me and I go, well, do you know what, I'd rather the truth than working on a falsity that I thought was true and then at some point find out that's not true later. And so I also think it's a piece of work for each of us to be doing on the inside of allowing people to say no and letting go of whatever something that needs me to have everybody comply with me and do things the way I think things should be done, or participate the way that I believe in. And to find a place that I can accommodate my agenda being not the thing that other people are buying into. And somehow freedom comes for me in receiving a no, but then a freedom then comes for the other people for letting them say no. I think so much of relationship and being in systems is like this kind of dance of non-truth. On both parts, and it's a strange feeling to feel like, oh, we've just been being nice to each other, but what's actually here? What's the substance of this? What can I really stand on in this friendship or this relationship if we never disagree with each other or we never find our way to our own authority or integrity inside of this? If it can't survive that, what is it? And so I'm just appreciating that feeling of, I guess, like a non-mergedness, which I guess is the nature of boundaries, is that there's a deep togetherness, non-separateness that exists for us beings. And there's also simultaneously an individuality that is experienced by having a skin ending where it ends, and a voice that's mine, and thoughts that are mine that I think, and feelings that are mine that I have. And plenty of that is universal, and plenty of that is private. And some of it's shared and some of it's not. And it just feels to me like speaking about that is really helpful, because it helps me to see, yeah, I'm part of something, and I need not manipulate it so much. And by not manipulating it so much, maybe I can feel freer in whatever it is, because I can feel its substance all of a sudden, rather than the kind of social dancing and massaging that exists.
The thing about the social dancing, Lizzie, that was occurring to me as you were speaking, is it's really like a hall of mirrors once we get into it, because once I'm not responding from my own sense of integrity, which I think at its best will also, of course, include a kind of genuine care for you, but when I'm not standing in that and I'm responding from the, oh, I wonder what you're going to make of what I'm saying, and I'm trying to control and manipulate what I feel and what you feel in the situation rather than being true, and you're doing the same. So now I'm responding to what I imagine is going on for you and trying to get you to, or me to feel a particular way. And then you're trying to respond to me and trying to get you or me to feel a particular way. And we're going on and on very quickly. We end up very, very far from anything that's true at all. And I was very moved by the way that you said it, which was when we can bring our own authority and integrity into a relationship. It seemed to me that that's the way that we cut through this kind of hall of mirrors. Do I even know who or what is it that I'm in relationship with when we're playing this game of trying to have things exactly our way, whether that's me trying to not feel guilty and so self-abandoning, or me, as you were saying, not letting you say no because I want you to be a particular way for me. Once we're into that, it's actually really hard to know, who am I in relationship with here? Because it's probably not that of you that is most true and most real and most whole. It's a kind of facade, and we can very easily be in a relationship between multiple facades in relationship with one another that's very, very far from us. And I think it's, yeah. I think if we pay attention, we can feel that. After all, we can feel that this relationship, the feel of being able to be in a relationship with another where it's possible to tell the truth, or it's possible to say no, or to ask for something that's genuine, and to risk, and that's probably not even the best word of saying it, but to be open to what I and you feel and are experiencing without trying to change it. They feel very, very different to be in if we pay attention. And the reason that they feel different is because in the one where we're in contact with the wholeness of one another, we can bring our own wholeness and integrity. It's not compromise. And sometimes those relationships end because we find that what we care about is not the same. When we put away the facade, we find that we don't care about the same thing. So friendships end, and romantic relationships end, and people leave communities and all of that. But equally, we find ourselves in deeper. Oh my goodness, what matters to you really matters to me too, or it matters to me to be with you as I learn more and more about who you are and where you stand. That's equally true. So I think that what Jeff Foster's talking about this in this poem is exactly this, is when we give up, when we allow ourselves to be in deep, which is going to mean feeling a bunch of things, including, of course, great joy and exhilaration at being with another human being sometimes. That's what's called for, to be fully in our lives, in our relationships. And that matters, because we can't not be in relationship in life.
Yeah. I'm just feeling particularly enjoyed, like as in joy feels like it's here when I reflect on the possibility of relationship and what an incredible thing it is to have a way of seeing through the hall of mirrors that you're talking about, and how that connection with another person where our wholeness is welcome as is theirs, and our truth can be told, and we can be like last week, I don't know if it was last week, before we were talking about refining the way that we can tell each other the truth. That realm feels like such an incredible invitation always to me. And in a way, like, you know, who knew that this poem would bring us there? But for me, it's such a beautiful reflection to feel into the relationship possibility of being able to really be our whole self in it, and what that makes possible between humans feels like the elixir of life somehow. And I just feel grateful that this is where we've reached now in this conversation, and I'm grateful for Jeff's inspiration breathing life into this conversation for us. It's really wonderful. I'm just noticing the time and feeling very opened and lots of gratitude as usual for the faithfulness with which we leap into these conversations, Justin. And I've got my phone hooked up onto a kind of a rope that's hanging from some pipes holding a curtain up in the middle of Devon somewhere, relying on some ropey wireless. And I feel so supported always in the middle of my life and whatever I'm up to by doing this. And Justin, you're in the middle of the fairground with a load of ducks and some trees. And I just feel very grateful that we do this in amongst things, and that it doesn't have to be perfect. And it's perfect in its beautiful non-slickness. So I'm very grateful for this. And this is a wonderful note to end on, I think. It's just this invitation to the possibility of relationship where we can fully be ourselves in it. And I so appreciate where we've reached just now.
Yeah, thank you, Lizzie. I think I know that what we're trying to do here is to find a way to be true rather than perfect, and to keep on showing up. But not to have this be presented in you said not being slick. I think it's the same thing that we've been talking about all along these 99 weeks. And particularly we've been talking about in Jeff Foster's poem, is where we give up trying to manage impressions and instead try to do what's true. And trying to do what's true means you're in Devon with ropey Wi-Fi and your phone suspended over a curtain to make this happen, and I'm on a Hampstead Heath because I was swimming in the pond this morning and didn't manage to make the journey home in time, and here we are, we're still here and showing up in all of the imperfection and seeing if we can find a way to be true in the midst of it. So I'm really glad for that, and I'm glad also because I know that there are many, many people who, it's not just us who organize their lives around somehow being part of this conversation, whether they're up early in the morning, continents away from where we are, or whether you've arranged yourself to listen to it later. It takes a kind of commitment to be in this conversation with us. And it's the same thing. So thank you to you, Lizzie. And thank you also to everyone. And well, being well, we will be here for week 100.
I know, one whole 100.
One whole 100.
That's so cool, isn't it?
Next Sunday morning.
Woohoo! Lucky Justin likes the numbers, because I would have never known that.
Yeah.
And I want to know that.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. See you next week. Thank you.